Hennepin County Board of Commissioners got their first look this morning at a sweeping recommendation for new county facilities. The 14-month, $50,000 study recommends the immediate construction of a 17-story county court building, an 8-story administration building by 1975, and other buildings in a 25-year, $39 million building program. Board Chairman Robert James said the report indicates the goals and steps needed for a new county construction program. He added that he hoped federal money would become available to help pay the staggering cost of the program. Other recommendations include the transfer of the Minneapolis Workhouse to Hennepin County, a new alcoholic treatment and rehabilitation center. The report concluded by saying the county cannot afford to wait to begin its construction program. Building costs are going up by about 3% a year. A new bill to increase the length of trucks allowed on Minnesota highways dominates discussions at the legislature today. For that story, we go to WCCO Radio State House correspondent Arv Johnson.
One of the most controversial bills of the session was introduced in the Senate today, a proposal to permit 65-foot double-bottom trucks to operate on Minnesota highways. The term double-bottom means the use of two trailers behind a cab. It would also increase the permissible length of regular semis from 50 to 55 feet and car transports to 60 feet. The proposal is traditionally backed by the trucking industry, opposed by the railroads. Sponsors are Senators Lou Larson, Bob Ashbach, and Roger Laufenberger. Bills to formalize Minnesota's participation in the Interstate Compact for Education are being presented in both houses today, introduced by top leaders of both groups in the Senate and the House. Chief sponsors are Senator Carl Grittner of St. Paul and Representative Rod Searle of Waseca. Minnesota is now a member of the compact under an earlier executive order of former Governor Karl Rolvaag, but legislative action is required to continue the membership. The measure is expected to pass. The House Civil Administration Committee approved two bills today, one for a constitutional amendment to permit legislators to run for other offices, the other is to require that any bill which would increase or decrease state spending or revenue raising must include a so-called fiscal note or price tag stating its fiscal effect. The committee didn't get to another bill on its agenda, the one to make the Office of Railroad and Warehouse Commissioner appointive. This is Arv Johnson, WCCO Radio State House Correspondent.
The Minnesota Supreme Court cautioned police officers and prosecutors today about introducing evidence in a trial that they can't back up. The High Court ordered a new trial for Thomas Gagan, who was charged in St. Paul with driving a motor vehicle while intoxicated. The court noted that the police officer answering a question by the prosecutor in Gagan's trial indicated that Gagan had had a prior criminal conviction. The majority opinion added that the question and answer had probably been deliberate. In the words of the court, if prosecutors and police officers persist in trying to inject into a trial matters which they know they cannot introduce directly, the only solution is to let them try the case over. The University of Minnesota agricultural agent for Olmsted County, 56-year-old Richard Radway of Rochester, was found dead in his home yesterday. According to the county coroner, the cause of death was self-inflicted gunshot wounds. Radway held the rank of professor and had served as president of the Minnesota Association of County Extension Agents. The reigning figure of the St. Paul Winter Carnival, King Boreas the 31st, will be named tomorrow night in ceremonies at the Winter Carnival Snow Palace in downtown St. Paul. The president of the festival, John Works, said the ceremony marks a departure from tradition by naming the king 1 week before the Winter Carnival begins. He said there will be a single coronation this year, and he wants King Boreas on hand to crown the Queen of Snows. They have thus decided to announce the identity of King Boreas a week early. The University of Minnesota enrollment this winter quarter is at a record high for the winter term. 40,700 full-time students are registered, an increase of 2.7% over a year ago. The largest individual gain occurred in the College of Liberal Arts, which now has nearly 13,700 students, an increase of 6.3% over last winter quarter. The enrollment at the Twin Cities campuses is more than 35,100. Duluth has 4,300 registered full-time students. Morris has slightly over 1,000. The Twin Cities set an employment record in December, the fifth straight month that a record was set in the metropolitan area. The State Employment Service says 694,000 persons were employed on non-farm and salary jobs last month. That's 38,000 more than a year ago, December. The accused slayer of two Milwaukee girls will hear the results of an examination into his sanity today. 23-year-old Michael Lee Harrington will appear in Milwaukee court to hear the results of the testing. U.S. infantrymen have penetrated 600 yards into a massive tunnel that may have served as regional headquarters for the Viet Cong, and the end is not in sight. So-called tunnel rats of the 196th Light Infantry Brigade found maps, detailed plans used by communist suicide squads for sneak attacks, and diagrams of hotels and billets used by Americans in Saigon. The tunnel complex, called the most important discovered yet, is only 25 miles from Saigon. What may be the most serious development yet in the Red Chinese internal power struggle has been reported on Radio Peking. Forces opposed to party chief Mao Zedong reportedly have mobilized peasants who are heading toward or already in Shanghai to fight forces loyal to the Communist Party leader. Red China's army posted a wallpaper in Peking today saying the former army chief of staff, General Lao Chui-ching, and a vice premier, Po Ipo, have committed suicide, but there is no confirmation of this report. The two men were targets of Mao's purge. We'll check the weather in just a moment.
Move up to the home you can afford. Twin City Federal will show you how. Move up to the best you can afford. Twin City Federal makes it easy now. Twin City Federal makes it easy now.
Through tight money months last year, those Twin City Federal folks went right on making home loans. They made first mortgage loans totaling over $90 million. Now, maybe you're thinking about building or buying a home now, or maybe you'd like to refinance your home. Stop in and talk with the Twin City Federal folks. They grew to be the home loan leaders by planning home loans for families like yours. Twin City Federal, where the famous twin clock flashes the time and the temperature.
Move up to a home of your own with a loan from the home loan leader, Twin City Federal.
Warmer weather is streaming into CCO land this afternoon, and the unseasonably mild conditions will continue through tomorrow. Some light snow may fall in extreme northern areas tonight and tomorrow. Wisconsin, partly cloudy and warmer this afternoon through tomorrow. Highs today from the 20s to the 30s. It'll be cloudy to partly cloudy over Minnesota today through tomorrow, with warmer temperatures and some light precipitation in the extreme north. It may get a bit colder in the extreme north tomorrow. Lows tonight 5 to 15 north, 15 to 25 south. Highs tomorrow, 5 to 15 north and 15 to 38 in the south and central. Twin Cities, partly cloudy and considerably warmer this afternoon through tomorrow. Today's high, 35. Low tonight, 20. High tomorrow will be 35. In the Twin Cities this noon, 29 degrees. 29 now on the Twin Clock. And that's the noontime news. This is Jurgen Nash speaking for the nine offices of Twin City Federal, where you earn 4.5% per year on passbook savings, 5.25% per year on 6-month savings certificates. Twin City Federal. Now, direct from the Northwest's number one livestock marketing center in South St. Paul, the firms affiliated with the Livestock Market Institute bring you Bob Carlson and his up-to-the-minute on-the-spot analysis of the livestock trade. Here's Bob.
Yes, sir, Jurgen, and while those temperatures you were talking about moved upward, the livestock prices seemed to move the other way in Friday dealings here in South St. Paul and pretty well around the circuit. And those hog prices under particular pressure, ranging unevenly 25 cents to 50 cents to as much as a big dollar lower, with the decline coming on the heels of the arrival of a raft of the country-bought hogs that were purchased in the country by the packers yesterday. And so as a result, yesterday's 21 and a quarter top sagged off to a $20.75 extreme top in our Friday trade here today. The slaughter lambs also declined a half a dollar. The $23.50 top that has been in effect through most of the week sagged off to a $23 high today. But the slaughter steers and heifers did manage to hold about steady, with the well-finished steers still quotable up there in the $26 money, the heifers up around $25, and the salesmen successful in holding on to the 3 to 4 month highs that came on the steers and the heifers and the bulls during the week's trade. The feeder cattle, however, were under pressure in our Friday action auction. The prices on the yearling feeder steers dipping 25 cents to 50 cents lower, while the steer calves and all the heifers ranged steady to about a half a dollar lower, with about 2,000 head of stocker and feeder cattle included in the supply, and the quality of the run tending much more toward the plain side than we've seen in recent weeks. But we did have mixed good and choice 500 to 750-pound feeders from 24.5 to 25.5. The Holstein feeders went from 19.5 to 21.50. Most sales noted from 20 to 20.5. we had choice 350 to 500-pound steer calves from 27 on up to 2810, and we had good grade 500 to 700-pound yearling heifers from 20 to around 2310. The good grade 350 to 450-pound heifer calves going from 22 to around 24, a couple of loads noted up around 2480. Well, we've a doff of the hat and congratulations to three more award-winning swine producers who marketed the three top loads of hogs here at the South St. Paul Stockyards yesterday. And to each of them, congratulations and a bonus check for $50 in recognition of the production progress that they have made in marketing hogs that yield the meaty, tasty pork that is bringing pork back to more and more dinner tables every day. And yesterday's bonus winners were from Maple Lake and from Cortland, Minnesota, and from Arkansas, Wisconsin. Earl Sturr from Maple Lake, Helmut Bodie of Cortland, and Daryl Monroe of Arkansas, Wisconsin. And the bonus awards are going to be continued to be paid each market day through the balance of Pork Week. $50 on each of the three top loads of hogs marketed here in South St. Paul each market day. So you have 5 days of trade next week to get in on that competition. And by golly, we had some hogs in the trade today that certainly would be eligible for the competition. However, we were one short. They came from W.I. Boyce down at Trimont, who had only 19 head of hogs. And, of course, he raises some toppy hogs down there, good Berkshires. His weighed 244 pounds today and brought $20.50. And this is the 41st year that Mr. Boyce has been raising purebred Berkshires down there in that Trimont country. But one short, only 19 hogs in that count, and he needed 20 to be eligible for the competition for the top hogs. And by golly, I bet you that he would have won, too. Marvin Ling from Princeton, Minnesota, had some feeder steers in here yesterday. Four steers at 24, four heifers at 21. And then Gunnar Nielsen from Luck, Wisconsin, had 41 hogs that Len Erickson hauled to market. The 41 hogs averaged 218 pounds. They sold at 20 cents a pound straight away. And letters in the mail from Gary Carlson out at Montevideo, from Olaf Holland out at Frost, and Jim McGinnis at Mankato, and all of them with news about the annual meeting of the Minnesota Livestock Feeders Association next Wednesday at the Lowry Hotel in St. Paul. That's on the 25th. And Olaf Holland extends a personal invitation to all livestock feeders to attend and get in on the sessions. They start at 9 o'clock in the morning, wind up with a banquet that's going to feature the Honorable Harold Evander, Governor of Minnesota, as the banquet speaker on Wednesday night. So make plans now to attend. You're most welcome. Olaf says he'd like to see all the livestock feeders there to attend that important session. Well, that's about it for the moment. You gals, don't forget now to get some pork for the weekend, and then we'll have more talk about pork and hogs and livestock with Jim Hill tomorrow morning and again at noontime as we review some of the happenings of the week's trade. So listen if you can, then when you get the chance, come on in and see us, will you? Because we certainly want to see you at your best market of all here in South St. Paul.
All right, Bob, it's 12:45, and it's 29 now in the Twin Cities. As the Pioneer Hybrid Corn Company produces a Pioneer corn, sorghum, and alfalfa seed, brings you your noon farm report with Maynard Spies.
Another note on the markets, by the way. Soybean price trends are mixed today on the Chicago Board of Trade. Corn was lower. Wheat was higher. Hog price is steady to lower. Cattle price is steady to lower also. In less-than-car-lot trading at New York compared with Thursday, wholesale less-than-car-lot prices of beef, veal, and lamb unchanged at New York. Pork loin selling a dollar higher, while other pork cuts are steady. Deliveries of live poultry at Chicago are insufficient to report prices, and no sales of either eggs or butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Are you fully satisfied with the yield and quality and total feed that you've been getting from your alfalfa? If you're not, you ought to take a look at Pioneer's vigorous growing alfalfa, the ones with extra yield that more than repay seed costs. Here are alfalfas for any rotation. Ask the fellow who grows Pioneer brand alfalfas. Let him tell you about the extra yield and added quality that he gets from Pioneer alfalfa. Now, for real winter hardiness and extra long rotation, 3-4 years and longer, you can't beat Pioneer brand 525 and 522. They're famous for record yields of leafy fine stem forage. Pioneer's Arnhem alfalfa is ideal for medium rotations, good for at least 2 years of high production. Pioneer's fast-growing PAT30 and X583 brand alfalfas start growing earlier in the spring and keep going later in the fall, recommended for 1 and 2 year rotations. When you're talking seed corn needs with your Pioneer salesman, ask him about Pioneer's complete alfalfa line geared to higher yields and leafier and more nutritious forage. Variety sure to help you make the most of your forage acres. Secretary of Agriculture Orville Freeman is speaking in Tulsa, Oklahoma today, and for a thumbnail sketch of what he had to say, here he is.
We are embarked on a new era in agriculture, and we've set sail for the future in a sound ship, but there are reefs and shoals ahead. Historically, the fortunes of agriculture have been tied to the production-demand ratio. When demand moved ahead of production, farmers prospered. Prices were strong. When production moved ahead of demand, the reverse was true. Overproduction in the 50s piled up mountains of surpluses which depressed farm prices and income. And by 1960, the outlook was grim indeed. But in six event-filled years, we've turned the corner from gloom to promise. Surpluses are down to reasonable reserves. We've set export records in seven of the past 8 years. Millions of hungry people have been fed by our bounty. Farm prices have strengthened, and farm income has climbed. In 1966, gross farm income and net per farm income, although still well below parity, set new records. We've reached near balance between supply and demand, but holding that balance in the future will be much more difficult as the farmer's ability to expand output increases. We must not produce more than we need for use, plus a sensible reserve. If we do, we'll slip right back into the surplus problems of the late 1950s. In this new era of American agriculture, we can adjust output expansion to demand because we've developed the necessary tools to do it. With cooperation among producers, the trade, agribusiness, and government, we can hold a workable balance between supply and demand, maintain economic strength in agriculture, and encourage those continued scientific and technological breakthroughs which we'll need in the years to come. Moreover, I predict that exploding populations and rising incomes will continue to stimulate a strong demand for food. And this, in turn, promises better prices and greater income for the farmer and for the agribusiness serving him and the consumer.
That was the Secretary of Agriculture, Orville Freeman. Apologize for the quality of the line, but I'm sure you could hear what he had to say, and we'll talk more about that in just a minute. Milo Hansen from near Dawson in Lacqui County is one of those curious farmers who wants to know exactly what his corn is making per acre. On May 20th, he planted Pioneer Hybrid 3670 and 3812 in the same field along with a competitive variety of similar maturity. Here's what he reports. Although his corn ran under 100 bushels per acre, Milo says he's happy with the yield, considering that the planter was faulty and his populations at harvest time were only 11,000 stalks per acre. Pioneer 3670 made 96 bushels per acre, adjusted to 15.5% moisture. Pioneer 3812 made 91 bushels, and the one competitive variety yielded 95 bushels per acre, but was much wetter. Milo says the significant thing I discovered in this test is that the Pioneer corns at 21.5% and 26.5% moisture were considerably drier and more ready to crib than the other corn, which looked drier than the Pioneer variety. Now, if you checked your field for yield this fall, you probably came up with similar results from your Pioneer corn. It's known for high yield for its maturity, so see your Pioneer seed corn salesman now to get the best profit makers for 1967 planting. The Agriculture Department faces the possibility of having to say no to some farmers who have indicated they would like to retire additional cropland from production for 5 to 10 years in return for government payments. The department says 74,033 applications were turned in by January 12th for putting 5,968,000 acres of cropland under the program designed to help prevent overproduction of crop and to provide land for recreation, wildlife habitat, erosion control, open space, and natural beauty. Congress has authorized a limit of $80 million to cover payment this year on land diverted from crops. Officials estimate, however, that it will take about $133 million to cover present applications, and even more applications may come in because farmers have until March the 3rd to submit them. But the department emphasizes that no contract with farmers have been signed yet. And in view of this, there could be substantial withdrawals as farmers determine the application of the program to their own farm. Officials say if the total offers exceed the available funds, it may become necessary to determine which of the application should be accepted to accomplish the various objectives of the program. Generally speaking, those filed earlier would be the first to get contracts. Well, aerial photography has become as much a part of American agriculture as the tractor and the combine. Forecasters believe it won't be too long before commercial farming will lean heavily on Earth-orbiting spacecrafts. Aerial photography came into use a few years after the first farm programs were started back in the early 1930s. That original program was administered by the old AAA, the Agricultural Adjustment Administration, which was a predecessor of our current Agricultural Conservation and Stabilization Service. Its purpose was to reduce production of certain abundant commodities through agreements providing government compensation for retired farm acres, and naturally some means of measurement was required to implement the program. Originally, it was done on foot, looking at the land itself, and this was an enormous job, watching over what was then more than 6 million farms, and by 1935, they came up with the idea that they needed a more efficient and economical way to keep track of production, so they turned to the airplane, and after some successful flight, the department put into effect a full-scale program of aerial photography across the nation in 1936. And within 4 years, virtually all cropland in the U.S. had been recorded on aerial film, and the airplane found a permanent niche in the government's vast farm program. I'd like to remind you, incidentally, that the Crookston is the county seat of Polk County in northwestern Minnesota, and it'll be the first night stop on WCCO Radio's start-to-finish coverage of the Winnipeg to St. Paul snowmobile race. It's a town of about 9,000, and Paul Giel and Dick Chapman will give you a complete wrap-up of the first day's racing right here on WCCO Radio.
Today's Noon Farm Report first portion brought to you by the producers of Pioneer Corn, Sorghum, and Alfalfa Seed.
This is Joyce Lamont for McCall's. There was a time, not so very long ago, when taking a vacation aboard a cruise ship was considered a way of life for the fortunate few, those with a lot of time and a lot of money. But today there are cruises to fit every vacation budget and a sailing date and itinerary to meet almost any vacation plan. We'll talk about taking a cruise ship through the Caribbean and the West Indies in just a moment. This is our final show for McCall's Magazine and the last day of McCall's bargain offer. 16 months for $2, just 12 and a half cents a month for some great reading. Novels, short stories, articles by and about people in the news. Columns on current events, medicine, child care, and homemaking. Articles on beauty, fashions, foods, and home decorating. Now to subscribe to McCall's for 16 months for only $2, get your order in today. This is the final day. Send a card with your name and address to McCall's, WCCO Radio, Minneapolis, 55402. Or if you live in the Twin Cities area, you can phone your order. Call 222-0581. That's 222-0581. Send no money now unless you'd rather. McCall's will bill you later. If you have never made a Caribbean cruise, you might wonder, what kind of people go on them? Well, the answer is, there's no typical cruise passenger. They represent every type of community in the U.S. and Canada and other countries, and the majority have saved carefully to afford such a trip. And the majority, this time of year, have come from cold climates to enjoy a few weeks in the islands of the sun. Some take part in the social activities of the ship. Others prefer comparative solitude. Those who want to keep busy have ample opportunity to expend their energies on dances and entertainment, swimming, games and contests, dancing lessons, and shore excursions. Others who want a good rest can have exactly that, complete with breakfast in bed, sunnings, and sitting in a comfortable deck chair. Cruise ships can offer more personal service to their passengers than can be found almost anywhere ashore, and this is one of the great reasons for their popularity. In the mornings, if you want to take it easy, you can order breakfast in bed from an enormous menu. If you'd prefer to watch the sunrise or take an early dip in the pool, you'll find breakfast served buffet style on deck. And so it goes throughout the day. There's always someone nearby to provide services, a staff to arrange shore tours, to answer questions about shopping, to entertain the ship and take it easy. Speaking of bargains, this is your final day to take advantage of McCall's bargain offer. To subscribe to McCall's for 16 months for just $2, only 12 and a half cents a month, and there's no better bargain than that. Today, send a card with your name and address to McCall's, WCCO Radio, Minneapolis, Minnesota, 55402. Or, if you live in the Twin Cities, you can order by phone right now. Call this number, 222-0581. 222-0581. Send no money now unless you'd rather. McCall's will bill you later.
Morel meats, so good. Morel meats, so good. So good between two slices of bread.
So good on a bun, on a roll instead.
Morel meats, so good. Morel meats, so good on a picnic, at a party. Good meat makes a party. Morel meats, so good. Morel meats, so good. If the heart is on the package, you can serve the meat with pride. Morel meats, so good.
You want to keep ahead of the neighbors? Win two airplanes. Those are the first prizes in the 6th annual Morel Meets His and Hers sweepstakes. Complete details are in the January 24th issue of Look Magazine, or get your entry blank wherever Morel meats are sold. The CCO temperature in the Twin Cities is 29 degrees. Wind from the south, 9 miles an hour. Cloudy skies, humidity 69%. The time, 1 o'clock, and the news is next. With studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830 WCCO.
This is CBS News. The debate grows on the anti-missile system as the State Department reveals new talks are in progress. Survivors are picked up from that helicopter crash off North Carolina, and wreckage is found in the tanker crash in Washington. Americans find a Viet Cong master plan for guerrilla raids, an unobserved anniversary for President Johnson. These and other top stories on CBS Radio News. This is Stuart Novin, CBS News in New York. The growing debate about anti-missile missiles increased in intensity today. The State Department says now officially what was reported by CBS News this morning, that talks are going on currently between the Soviet Union and the United States on the possibility of avoiding a new arms race in the construction of anti-missile systems. The talks are being conducted by Secretary of State Rusk and former Ambassador to Russia Foy Kohler on the one side and Soviet Ambassador Dobrynin on the other. The State Department says there is no reason to believe that Moscow is not giving careful consideration to the proposal. The Washington conferences have been going on for about 3 weeks. Today, the Soviet people were told for the first time about President Johnson's offer to participate in a mutual halt in anti-ballistic missile defense. The report in the Soviet press, however, is heavily shrouded with misgivings. On Capitol Hill, Senator Henry Jackson, Democrat of Washington, and a member of the Armed Services Committee, has called for a $5 billion program to speed the development of an anti-missile defense system. CBS News continues in a moment.
Time was when a casserole represented nothing more than a thrifty solution to the leftover problem. Happily, those times are gone. Today's casserole is a main course, a headliner, a work of culinary art. For 13 prime examples of the casserole in our time, don't miss our very favorite casseroles in February Better Homes and Gardens magazine. It's an all-star review of fix-and-forget casseroles like Black Magic Ham Towers, Turkey Paella, Hamburger Cheese Bake, and 10 more. And though the casseroles are on the elegant side, preparations are easy, thanks to today's convenience foods. Other family interest articles in this issue include Whatever Happened to the Old-Fashioned Rose Garden, and the first in an important year-long series entitled Home Improvement 1967, all in February, Better Homes and Gardens, on sale now.
Three survivors of the five-man Navy helicopter that crashed out of fuel Wednesday night in the Atlantic are back at the Marine Air Station in Cherry Point, North Carolina. Despite their 36 hours of bobbing in life rafts until they were picked up a few hours ago, they are reported well. The known survivors are Lieutenant Peter Nelson of Wrangell, Alaska, Lieutenant William Foley of Lakehurst, New Jersey, aviation machinist mate Arthur Hansen of Franklin, Massachusetts. The body of electronics technician George Takla of Brooklyn, New York, was found. The fifth man, Lieutenant Thomas Angros of Virginia Beach, is reported missing. The helicopter ran out of fuel after completing a mercy mission of flying a Navy man from his ship at sea to a shoreside hospital. A jet fuel tanker that disappeared last night over rugged mountains in Washington State, north of Spokane, was found this afternoon by rescue aircraft, its wreckage strewn across a mountainside. Snow Caterpillar tractors in the area now report they have sighted the wreckage and one body. Nine men were aboard the plane when it vanished from radio contact and radar screens. Rescue teams are trying to get through the heavy snows. American troops working through the Viet Cong underground headquarters in the Iron Triangle north of Saigon report they have found a master plan for guerrilla attacks against the South Vietnamese capital. The document, abandoned apparently by the communists, included plans for an attack on the giant Allied Tan Son Nhut airport that services Saigon.
Sir, I'd like to talk to you about Weiler's bullion cues.
Is that Weiler's, W-I-L-E-R-S?
Yes, I'd like to return these three bullion cues.
Return three bullion?
But there were 15 cubes of bullion in my jar, and I know you should only get 12 for that price, so I want to...
But, madam, Weiler's always gives you 15 cubes of bullion for about the price of 12.
Beef and chicken?
Yes, ma'am. And you should also know about Weiler's instant bullion. Each jar makes 19 cups of bullion.
Weiler's really gives you bargains, don't they?
Yes, ma'am.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if they made mink coats? How on earth does Weiler's do it at the price?
Senator Robert F. Kennedy of New York told a Columbia Law School audience last night that exemptions from the military draft should be used as an enticement to persuade more young men to enter into careers as policemen. Senator Kennedy also proposed that civilians be used as the eyes and ears of the police in their own neighborhoods. He conceded there might be some problems involved in that, but he said the idea of a citizen patrol could be quite constructive. President Johnson has reached the halfway mark of his first full term in the White House. Some observations from CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpont.
After a talk with the president at the White House yesterday, that old political master James Farley observed that the opinion polls are fine when they're for you, but they don't mean much when they go the other way. He said it with a smile, but his words doubtless reflected some of Mr. Johnson's own attitudes. The president used to quote popularity polls at the drop of a reporter's question. Nowadays, he hardly even sees reporters and never talks about the polls. Instead, he has gone to work to change them. For instance, the very fact that he is seeing reporters less and the public is seeing less of him has probably helped. As Mr. Johnson himself has often said, you don't have to explain what you don't say. Secondly, he has toned down his once broad Texas prose to the point where his recent statements sound so subdued and dignified even the intellectuals can accept them. But most important of all, President Johnson knows better than anyone alive the enormous powers of the presidency, how a settlement of the war in Vietnam, for instance, could change those polls. And in the next 18 months, he'll be using that power as only he can to regain the presidency. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Washington.
Radio Peking, which is believed to be controlled by the supporters of Mao Zedong, has broadcast a report that large numbers of peasants mobilized by Mao opponents have moved into the streets of Shanghai to attack Red Guards. Shanghai has a population estimated at 10 million. Violence there could provoke the most serious tangible effect of the current struggle for power. Like so many of the reports from China, this one, too, raises questions. Does Mao still control Radio Peking? Is there real violence, or is a Mao-directed Radio Peking spreading the report in order to unify Mao's own militant reactions? Is Mao exaggerating his opposition in order to claim a greater victory for crushing it? And as usual, the questions remain unanswerable as speculation is overtaken by events. Activity to this hour on the New York Stock Exchange is heavy. Volume, 6,440,000 shares traded. The Dow Jones average of 30 industrials is down 1.24. The New York Stock Exchange index of all stocks is up 4 cents, with industrials up 6 cents, transportation up 24 cents.
They're dependable, commendable, indispensable. When you have a cough, F&F cough lozenges, the dependable ones.
Famous F&F cough lozenges contain the exclusive antiseptic Banacol to kill millions of germs on contact. And they contain 6 other medications to calm the coughs of colds or flu. Famous F&F cough lozenges.
The dependable ones.
More details have been released on the forthcoming visit of Soviet Premier Kosygin to Great Britain. Kosygin, who will be the first Soviet premier to go to Britain in 10 years, has scheduled 5 formal talk sessions with Prime Minister Harold Wilson. The trip is planned for February. Kosygin will also be received by Queen Elizabeth at Buckingham Palace. And before he returns to Moscow, he will be given the opportunity to visit the grave of Karl Marx in London.
The Philadelphia Phillies have obtained controversial retired slugger Dick Allen.